The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season two of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacey
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Ross.
Here we go now.
Bump, have you ever maybe lived in a place and then gone back and it looks totally different when you return?
Oh, yeah. Culver City, California. That thing looks completely different now.
What was it like when you were younger? What's it like now?
When I was growing up, Culver City was a place. We had a Sony Studios was there, but it was kind of like a place you kind of just went through to get to the beach or go up north to get to Hollywood. You go east to get to the hood. You go down south. It was just a place you passed through, and now it's all trendy and stuff and all these restaurants. It's bougie now. It don't look like the Culver City I know.
See, I feel that way about the University of Washington campus. When I was there many years ago, certain dorms were like just being built or newly built, and now I drive through and I go, that whole dorm wasn't even there, or like that whole building wasn't even there. It's been developed so much that even driving through it is like, I can't believe this is happening. So I think that's the feeling that a lot of Seahawks fans are having, and the makeover may not be as dramatic at Virginia Mason Athletic Center, Seahawks headquarters, as it is for your hometown of Culver City or for my college stomping grounds, but I do think there are some symbolic changes. For instance, the basketball hoop. The basketball hoop is officially gone from the Seahawks auditorium. It's the first thing players noticed when they walked into the auditorium. It's the first thing reporters noticed yesterday when they asked questions at voluntary offseason workouts for some of those early press conferences we haven't heard just yet. So let's talk about what a new culture could look like at VMAC and what's lost by moving on from certain things. Now, I know, Bump, that there is someone listening going, who cares if a basketball hoop is gone? I think that that's symbolic. I think it's a symbolic move, and it marks a new culture. I don't know if it's good. I don't know if it's bad. I don't know exactly what it means yet. All I know is that that was so integral to what Pete Carroll did that he had it shipped over when the team went to London to play over there, like he, or to Germany to play the Bucks. Yeah. Like this was such a huge part of his program. Players really, really, really enjoyed it, and it's hard, Bump. As a fan, as a reporter, as someone who covers the team, not to look into it and take something from it.
Yeah, you can take something from it. You're supposed to. This means that there's a new regime in town. Mike McDonald's going to do some things differently, and he's supposed to do that. He's got to shake things up a bit. When I took over Monroe High School, this is a way smaller scale, right? But I took over Monroe High School, 2015, and there was a coach there before me, Brett Jay. Great coach. He's over at Hanford, I think, in Eastern Washington. And there are some things that he did that I kept the same, but 80% of it, I go, all right, I got to make this me. I got to make this the new Monroe Bearcats, and we have some success. That's all Mike McDonald's doing. Mike McDonald probably ain't no hooper. He probably don't like basketball.
You don't know that.
I don't know that. I know he don't want that hoop in that auditorium.
Now Jordan's when he got introduced.
If Jordan's means you're a hooper, we got 80% of the world that
I think that the second part of what Bump said is true. We don't know if he can hoop. Maybe he can. Who says he can't? But we know he doesn't want it there because it's not there.
That's not – it's like when my wife moved into my apartment, man, there was – I used to have, like, you know, typical man stuff, Budweiser, neon lights.
A single Lazy Boy recliner in front of a TV that's propped up on top of a plywood, like, box.
I wouldn't like that. That's college.
We call that rustic. We call that rustic decorating.
I just questioned some of y'all's decor choices without your
wives. He's supposed to do this. I think – that might have been one of the first things you have to do is get rid of that hoop. Because what does that symbolize? Pete Carroll.
Fun.
Richard Sherman. Bobby Wags. The old regime. What did I was talking to one of my buddies. I got him tickets to the Hawks game. And he didn't realize he was walking into like the suite. And he sees Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett. He's texting me going crazy. Like, man, what the heck happened? I go, who'd you talk to? He goes, I talked to Bennett. And Bennett said exactly what he said on this show. He goes, man, we appreciate the love. Let us go. It's over. Let us go. That's all McDonald's is doing is saying, look, we appreciate Pete. He built this house. VMAC is beautiful over there. But now this is me. I'm the captain now. I'm driving this ship. No basketball hoops. Y'all be quiet when you walk into here. Where's your notepad? Take out your notes. Shake it up, Mike. I'm all for shaking it up, man. You might get some different results.
I am wondering the same, and I also think that you have to do that. Look, I think that there is nothing wrong with being a fun environment. Like, I remember when people would, you know, we'd mention it during the huddle during the season, and this isn't just last season. This would be in any season where they were struggling. And we'd say something like, yeah, we can hear the music going, or like, oh, yeah, guys in the locker room were joking around, and you'd always have people going, why? They lost. Why? And it's like, well, because part of Pete's philosophy is to always compete, to move on. Those are just little tiny pieces of his philosophy. But as part of that, it was, we're jumping into a new week, and I think that it is a newer, more modern approach to coaching to recognize that mental health and getting a fresh start and having fun can sometimes be a way to move on to the next challenge. And I think that's what Pete did with it. Now, he used it for competition. He used it to get guys excited. And I don't think you always have to be doom and gloom. I mean, we saw Matt Patricia fail in Detroit, and I heard so many things about his failed tenure in Detroit, about guys just really not liking playing for him because he was too serious. And he was too much of this, like, military kind of, like, approach to coaching, and he hadn't proved anything. He came in from Bill Belichick's system and wanted to have Bill Belichick's attitude, and people said, well, where's your rings? Where's your dynasty? Where's all the stuff that comes with being Bill? You still have sleeves on your sweatshirts. None of this makes sense.
You know what I appreciate about that, though? Even though I think he failed tremendously, as a coach, you got to come in and do it your way. You can't be worried about, well, the last guy did this. Oh, what are my players going to think about that? It don't matter. It's your player's job to fall in line and do things the way that you want them to do, because you have to live and die by your philosophy. Because either way, you're going to get fired one day. Just happened. We just saw Pete Carroll get fired after 14 years. Bill Belichick wasn't asked back. No one in the league wanted to hire Bill Belichick. It, at the end of the day, your life in the NFL is going to come to an end. You got to go down swinging the way that you want to do it, something that you believe in. So even though Patricia was horrible at it, I mean, what else did we expect? He was under Bill Belichick for how many years? That's the same thing with Mike. Mike, you do this the way that you want to do it. If you want to take all the doors off the dang, off the hinges and stuff, do that. Whatever you think works, you do it, because once it doesn't work, you're going to get the boot. So, you know, why am I starting so dark? Mike's not getting the boot. He's going to be here for a long time, okay? I'm just saying, when it's all said and done, you got to do it your way. Who sings that song? I did it my way.
Frank Sinatra,
that? There you
right?
go, Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Do your Frank Sinatra, dog.
I think that I don't know that that Mike McDonald is going to have a super strict approach, and I don't know that the basketball hoop not being there means that he's not going to be a player-friendly coach or that he's going to be more strict than Carroll. But look, if I'm taking the old head approach to this conversation, which I am going to do right now, you were a defense that last year finished 31st against the run. You are a team that did not make the playoffs. You were a team that's fallen short of your own expectations for a long time. And this is a guy who didn't just find success with Michigan, but oversaw the defense, the best defense in the league, on the best team statistically in the league last year. I know they didn't go on to win a Super Bowl, but they were the best team in football last year statistically. If this guy comes in and says, hey, we're taking out the hoop, I'm going, okay, what next? You tell me what you want. You know what I mean? No, you gotta pay it off. You gotta have this all work out. You gotta have your a way as a coach to have your vision and your plan succeed on the field. But you seem to have some kind of key. You seem to have some kind of idea of what to do here. Give the guy a chance to figure it out. Give the guy a chance to come in here and coach the way he wants and see if he has answers. And if not, then okay. But I don't know that I'm like, you know, crinkling up my nose too much poo-pooing someone, you know, doing any kind of changes at a facility when they've succeeded to such a degree elsewhere.
I ain't worried about that. You know what I'm worried about? The product that's going to be on the field. And there's a way to get to that product. There's a way that a team has to move. Curtis, what's the UConn basketball head coach? Oh, I forget his name. Dan Hurley, yes. I was listening to him speak, and he is so intent on who and what is around his team and how they go about their processes and how they carry themselves and prepare. That's all Mike McDonald's is doing. He goes, there's no need for no basketball hoop in here. We're good. I might throw something else here. And I don't want people to think, okay, just because he doesn't have the hoop in there, he's no fun. No, he just does it differently. It's a different time there at VMAC, and I'm all for the change. Because why would you bring somebody else, someone in, and then repeat what was done for the past 14 years and expect different results?
Right.
There's a reason why Pete Carroll ain't here. It's not because he's not a great coach. It's not because the Seahawks don't love him. It's because, look, 14 years was enough, and the message wasn't getting across. It just wasn't working anymore. Now let's give a younger guy a chance to do it his way. We'll see whether it works or not, but as long as he's being true to himself and these guys can pick up on that and believe, I'm all good.
Someone said, Pete won a Super Bowl. Do we want to change that? Someone else said, let's see, productivity goes up when people are having fun and enjoying themselves. Even when you lose, you can bounce back a lot better. I do agree with that. At the very least, they need to use the basketball hoop and put it next to the statue of Pete outside the VMAC. Again, I get it, guys. I never had an issue when players were having fun at VMAC, even after losses. I never thought that was a problem. I've always appreciated and respected Pete's approach to how to coach people. I've always thought that it was innovative, and I think that even though he doesn't get credit for it, he changed the league a lot and changed the approach to that. Like, I don't know that we see Dan Campbell in quite the same way without Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Like, he's just got, like, a very unique style, a player-friendly style, a player-first style that wasn't especially common around the league in 2010-11. But, again, I'm curious to see what Mike McDonald does, and it is hard for me not to view the removal of the basketball hoop as a little symbolic.
Yeah, it's and I've spoken to Mike several times. Dude has a personality. It's not like he is just cold and no fun, and there's going to be drastic changes. There will be some changes. But their main message when I spoke to the coaches is that they want to empower, motivate, teach, and understand their players. They're just going to do it in a different way, something we're not used to. I understand people looking at this situation and being like, but Pete did it this way. Yeah, Pete did it that way. That was 14 years he did it, and the last time they were in the Super Bowl was a while ago. No knock on Pete. He still put together some competitive teams out there. The offense was hot towards the end of his career with Russell Wilson, despite how you feel about letting him cook and all that stuff. But it's time for Mike to do it his way.
Exactly.
And I want change. I want Mike, change the carpet in that piece. Paint the walls in that thing. I want change. I want to see drastic changes, because for the past couple of years with Pete and Clinton Hurt, they're trying to make these changes happen on the field, and they're just not executing. So whatever it takes, whatever your process needs to have these guys execute, I'm with it.
All right, you guys, we are going to get to some of that sound. I mentioned it was the first time reporters got to interview some of these players, the first time we heard from some of these players at voluntary offseason workouts. So we have sound from Geno Smith, Tyler Lockett. Uchenna Nwosu also spoke with reporters. Julian Love had some things to say about his new head coach. So we're going to get to all of that coming up at 10:45 and actually take a listen to what we learned from these players at voluntary offseason workouts. Right now, let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacy.
Headline number one, Cal Raleigh continued his personal vendetta against the Blue Jays as the Mariners beat Toronto 6-1 in extras yesterday. What's the real headline?
I wish more players on this roster had a vendetta against other teams. Be kind of nice.
Working well for him.
Get someone have a vendetta against the Red Sox, maybe against Milwaukee. Let's get some more vendettas on this team, because it works out well for some of them.
Let's start some Twitter beef, some IG beef, and just get it going.
Artificially manufacturing vendettas for players. I'm going to start spreading gossip, start spreading rumors.
You can go down to the clubhouse and be like, "Hey, Josh Rojas, did you hear what Shoto Imanaga of the Cubs had to say?"
Yeah. This is wild, man. I can't believe he said that about you.
Said you're a bum.
Yeah. What are you going to do about it, bro?
Exactly.
There are just some teams that guys just ball out against. When I was in college, no matter where USC was ranked, I put together a game against SC. That was my team growing up. But Cal, Toronto is his SC. 9 home runs in 15 games, 16 RBIs, over 1,000 career OPS against the Blue Jays. He owns the Blue Jays, and I love that he's still taking shots at Schneider over there for talking that talk. Schneider said, when he's talking about Cal, he's not very tough to pitch to when you execute. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what's so funny about that? No, duh. When you execute against anybody, you're probably going to get
it done.
That's
when you pitch really, really well against anyone. Well, yeah, you're going to look good. I also thought it was unnecessary. Like, granted, this was a year ago, and Cal had hit two bombs, and Schneider's asked, hey, what makes him so hard to pitch to? So it is a kind of like, it's not a setup question, but the premise in the question itself is that Cal must be very hard to pitch to. So Schneider, maybe without thinking, maybe because he doesn't care and it's not his player, immediately says, well, he's not. Maybe trying to, like, take something away from Cal. I don't know. It just didn't need to be said. All you need to do is, like, he's got a lot of power, man. So, you know, we think we're a great team. I really like our staff. We just didn't have it tonight. That's how that answer should have gone.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter Ipe Mizuhara will face federal charges related to his alleged theft of $4.5 million from Ohtani. What's the real headline?
If the feds think Shohei's innocent, I guess we can too.
Yeah, man. I mean,
Curtis.
Know. No. Yeah, it's a pretty open and shut case.
Yeah, it's all good. You know what's I was reading about this whole deal, and the interpreter, man, he was smart about what he did. He said he turned off notifications so Shohei couldn't see money going in, money going out. It's deep. What's the penalty with this? How long does one go to jail for stealing $4.5 million from your boy?
I mean, what's weird is it's got to be, I can't imagine it's like double-digit years, but I don't know anything.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about this.
I need to look at this. I don't know. I don't have a New York
this
Times.
This is white-collar crime.
I was going to say that. White-collar crime. I'll slap on the wrist. I'm going to send you to a soft
Martha Stewart
mini
prison.
Camp, and you sit down for a while in this twin-size bed with pillows. White-collar crimes.
Let's see. I can't find how many years he might be facing, but I think that obviously negotiating a guilty plea.
Yeah, it sounds like he's pleading guilty.
Exactly, which lessens that time because you don't end up going to some lengthy trial.
Headline number three.
Here we go.
The Masters, a tradition unlike any other, begins today from Augusta National. What is the real headline?
We may never see Bump again.
You know, Curtis, Stacey, this is it's a beautiful day.
It's the greatest day of your life.
You know, Augusta National had some thunderstorms earlier, so the tee times were pushed back just a little bit. God. But it's okay. No. We're still going to see the greats of Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Rahm, and everybody else. I'm excited. Played some golf last night. Listen to my boy Curtis on the post-game show. Curtis, well done. First time listening this year.
Thank you, Bob.
Well done. Stacey, you don't care about this as much as I do, so... You get no compliments on this one, Stace.
Hey. Oh, God.
Where does the Masters rank Bump in your favorite sporting events?
Two.
Number two.
Behind
wow.
the Super Bowl?
Yep.
Wow.
How far behind the Super Bowl? Could you go a year without watching the Masters versus a year without watching the Super Bowl?
I can go a year without watching the Super Bowl.
So maybe it's one.
No, it's not one. I think you just get more. You know, you get 4 days of competition. Super Bowl, it happens so fast. His hair is gone, but the Masters, the tradition like no other, Stacey, where grown men go out there in slacks and collared shirts and belts and hit a ball all across a 300-acre facility. It's nothing like it. Did you know the sand at Augusta isn't really the sand that you think it is?
What do you mean?
It's some other stuff. It's
Illuminati?
It's Illuminati stuff. Did you know the greens have heaters and water filters underneath them? So even if it's raining, the ball will still roll.
Why is this
through.
Grass living better than me?
Hey, because it's Augusta National.
Yeah.
This is a different
it's
world.
It's old money.
Old money.
Yeah. It's not new money. It's old money.
We talked about... Ipe Mizuhara, we can stop the Masters music, negotiating a guilty plea with the feds, with the idea being that if a federal organization is pretty convinced that Ohtani didn't know about this, then me as a fan can also side with them. And someone said, yeah, because the government never lies or is wrong at all, which obviously that's not true. But I don't know that a federal investigating body has the impetus to keep Ohtani as an untouched superstar in the same way that MLB does. It'd be one thing if it was MLB third party found Ohtani did nothing wrong. I'd be like, or MLB found Ohtani did nothing wrong. I'd be like, I don't know. I think Rob Manfred wants him to be absolutely clean and untouched and have nothing to do with this because it's in MLB's best interest. I don't think the feds care. I don't.
Yeah, very few people are untouchable to the feds. I would hope that nobody is untouchable to the feds. That would be the ideal scenario, but if they're the ones concluding that Ohtani didn't do anything wrong in this, then I think that closes the book on this. I hope it closes the book on this, because you never want to see something like this happen in any professional sport.
Man, I wish this was Sirius XM radio right now.
Oh?
Because I could go OJ on you real quick, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. OJ, we'll talk about OJ later, but yeah.
Bump, is there a price that you would not pay to get in the gates at Augusta National?
Yeah, you know, I got a family, you know. If I was solo, so yeah, I'll throw the savings
in there.
So
you aren't going to risk your family's financial security, but you'll come up just close to that.
I'll stick my toe in it. Stick my toe.
You got three kids. Maybe one of three is college fund. You know what I mean?
Hey, one of y'all got to go to trade school, man.
Yeah, exactly.
An apprenticeship.
Look, maybe we could draw straws. I don't know what we're going to do, but one of you is not going to a four-year university. And it's just how it's going to have to happen, because I got to go to Augusta.
Hey, that's when you have that speech, man. College is overrated. It's all a scam. They get you to pay all this money.
Dad,
you don't need to do that.
You just want to go to the Masters.
I got a business waiting for you. One of my kids, I got a business that is waiting for you. I got you.
All right, you guys, coming up at 11, Ryan Rowland-Smith is joining us to talk about what went right for the Mariners against the Blue Jays, because the bats finally showed up. The Mariners offense finally showed some life. We're going to talk about Cal's heroics in the 10th. Also a very interesting stat about when the Mariners are actually scoring runs. We are going to have some Seahawks stuff coming your way. Coming up at 10:45, reporters for the very first time this offseason got to speak to some players at voluntary workouts. So Chinna Nwosu, Tyler Lockett. Tyler had something really interesting to say at the close of his press conference. They also talked with Gino about Mike McDonald and about how the facility feels different. So all of that is coming your way next. Don't go anywhere.
The Mariners Kids Club is 100% free and a great way to get your kids excited for a lifetime of Mariners baseball. Sign up online and your youngster will receive a Kids Club hat, access to early gate opportunities, discounts, and more. Go to mariners.com/kidsclub to join.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you're running the hurry up and don't have time for your favorite Seattle sports show, listen to the podcast on demand.
How about that? Unbelievable.
Who would have thought? Every hour, every interview, every look behind the scenes.
It's Geno Smith.
Competition brings out the best in everybody.
If I were a Seahawk fan who wasn't listening to that, I would have to hear that.
Find us on seattlesports.com, the Seattle Sports app, or wherever you get podcasts.
Oh, it's fun.
It changes everything. Never miss a minute of Seattle sports. Your home for the Seahawks and Mariners. Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
The Mariners finally showed some life last night. And it might have started pretty late in the game. And by late, I mean the 10th, but that's okay. No matter. It still worked out. So game's tied 1-1. Shout out to Jorge Polanco for making an amazing catch in a bases loaded situation to force extras. They head to extras. You got one Mitch on base, and then you get Cal's go-ahead two-run home run.
Here comes a pitch to Cal. He swings and shoots this deep out to right field. Does he strike again? Springer is watching. It is gone. Who else? Cal Raleigh invades Toronto again. It's a go-ahead 10th inning two-run home run. And the Mariners are in front 3-1 in extras.
They were not done. Ended up adding 5 in the 10th. Service saying that inning was huge for everyone.
But it's really big for our club, and you know, putting an inning together like that in the 10th inning was great. Big hits. That's what we're capable of doing. But you know, again, Cal goes out there not trying to do too much. You know, off Miza, just trying to move the runner, hit the ball hard the other way, and he did hit it hard. Again, this ballpark, really against the Blue Jays, Cal Raleigh has been fantastic. I don't know what the career numbers look like, but there's a bunch of home runs in there.
You had Cal driving in Mitch Garver, so those are two runs. Dylan Moore flied out, and then you had Dom Canzone getting on base with a walk, JP getting on base with a walk. Ty drove home one of those with a double, and then Mitch Haniger got a two RBI single. Pretty much everyone gets a run. Congratulations. I feel like Oprah. Everyone gets a run. You got five runs, six runs total on the day. The first game, by the way, that the Mariners were able to notch six runs.
You know what happens when you see some success, even if it's late in the extra innings, what happens when you see success as a teammate, you start to believe, because they can say what they want about, oh, it's early and our bats are going to turn around. Until you see it, you don't really believe it. So you get into the 10th inning and you have all those events go down. You go, okay, this is what we can do. Because the last time they manufactured some runs, put some things together, Munoz takes the mounds, walks forward, the game is over, right? So they've finally put themselves in those situations, and they execute it. Me personally, I've been looking for the top of the lineup. I'm like, the order, like, come on, man. Like, let's get going. Now, Julio did have a single in the sixth. He was left on base. I think everyone else lined out after that. But when you needed it, your top of the lineup showed up. You got Crawford with an RBI single on the day. You got Cal with a two-run bomb. You got France with an RBI double in the 10th. You got Haniger with an RBI single in the 10th. Thank you, top of the line. Let's go. So I think this is big. Service is right. You can hear it in his voice, too. It's like, gosh, finally, man, we've shown that we can do it. That's one game. It took Walter keeping y'all in the game as long as he possibly could. He was doing his thing. But top of the order finally showed up in a clutch moment. Now I think they believe even more than they did the day before.
And Service is hoping that they can carry this into their next series.
We've been waiting for a big hit for quite a while. We haven't had one probably since the Julio walk-off at the opening homestand. So I tell you what it does when somebody does something like that, it just relaxes the whole group. And now you start to see, you know, the freedom, you know, the guys just playing baseball. And you saw that in the at-bats after it. So, again, hopefully this can springboard, you know, the rest of our club going forward here when we go back on the homestand.
I hope that it can springboard them, too. And, again, I was kind of hoping that Julio's walk-off would do the same, and it didn't. Julio having a quiet start to the season. But I think that, you know, you look at what you need heading into, you know, the rest of the month. I mean, maybe momentum is part of it. I know there are some people that don't believe in Uncle Momo, but I am not one of those people. I think momentum can be real. And I think that mentality can really affect outcome, even in a sport that is so hard to control like baseball. I am all eyes ahead to this upcoming series against Chicago, wondering if they can build on it.
You got to. I mean, this is hopefully this is a start of something. And I mentioned the top of the order doing their thing. I got to throw Polanco some love, too, making two over-the-shoulder type plays, one to really save the game. So, again, you're seeing little sprinkles of what could be, but it all starts with Logan Gilbert. It started with him last night. My man was on point. He was in control, had one blemish, left one high to Vladdy Dottie Jr. But that's going to happen. You have to be able to support your pitchers. That's what we saw late. My only thing now is we had our email, our show prep email, and I go, man, beggars can't be choosers, right? Because we got this win. You score six runs. You haven't done it all year. You support your arms with the runs and whatnot. But now I'm like, okay, now can we just do it earlier? Okay, is it too much for me to ask for more now, to not have to wait until you get an extra innings to do something? I'm going to ask for it. I think that they're capable of doing it, and I can't wait now. I feel a lot better. I bet you that plane ride home was a lot smoother after this W.
Everyone's easy. Just everyone's chill. Flying easy. Someone said, so six hits in 10 innings and we're back, LOL. Who said that? Nobody said that.
No, let's just act like they didn't win last night. Let's just act like they didn't win.
Right? What do you want us to do? No, what I'm hoping is that you show some life late, and that finally spurs maybe a little bit of confidence, you know, maybe some easiness for guys at the top of the lineup who had been pushing things. Like, it's just... It's just what you hope happens. Like, you hope that someone takes some momentum and turns that into some wins.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of a team, is building off your successes, having each other's back when you fail, and trying to piece games, innings, at-bats, whatever, put all that stuff together. I enjoyed watching the duel that was going on the mound. I mean, Kikuchi was throwing nasty stuff. Logan was throwing nasty stuff. It was all about who was going to bend first. And and both teams were kind of hanging in there and throwing their punches. And again, moments like that too are what you hope kind of build this callus throughout the season to where they're like, look, we've been down before. Remember when Bumpa Stacy was hating on us for being 4-8 or whatever
sure
we were?
Do.
Hey, held us down. Look at us now. This is all good. These are good moments for these teams. Even these losses earlier, it's not fun for us to watch. It's not fun for us to break down. It's frustrating when they're not doing the things that we think they're capable of, or they're not doing the things that they told us they're going to be able to do. So we're on them. But when they find a way to win a game, when they come through in the clutch, I'm not going to sit here and ignore that either, because I understand as a coach, as a player, that these moments are important for them.
Let's talk about one of the other things to happen from this. We talked about it in headline rewrites, but we're going to get to the sound. If you guys remember, a year ago, Toronto's manager, John Schneider, was asked, what makes Cal Raleigh so hard to pitch to? Raleigh had hit two home runs in that series. This is what John said.
John, what about Cal Raleigh makes him so tough to pitch to?
He's not very tough to pitch to when you execute your pitches. You know, he's hitting 200, but it's, I know he's done damage against us. And I think if you execute, you know, he's obviously got big, you know, damage potential, and he's got a lot of strikeout potential too. And when you execute your pitches, you usually get the job done.
People I would not want to give ammo to put Cal Raleigh on that list. Raleigh was asked after a home run in this one that saved the day for the Mariners about that comment a year ago.
Yeah, I know a lot of guys have beef with him in the league, so, his comments are surprising, and, I don't have much to say. If you don't have anything nice, don't say it all, I guess, if you don't want it to come back on you. So, he's had a lot of beef with people in the league, and he kind of did it to himself. So,
a lot of guys have beef with him in the league, kind of did it to himself. If you don't have anything nice to say, then maybe don't say anything at all is kind of the memo there from Cal. I am very okay with sports beef in general, and I'm very okay with this one if it means that Cal keeps hitting home runs at Rogers Center.
I ain't tripping. Coach wasn't lying. He didn't say nothing that wasn't true. My boy Cal was under 200. If you hit your spots, you're probably going to get him every now and then. He does strike out a lot because he hits for power. Cal, he ain't tripping either. Use that motivation. Oh, yeah, talk that talk. That's why I got over 1,000 OPS against the Blue Jays in my career and 9 bombs, 16 RBIs. I'm good with both sides, man. I think this is good for sport. It's not like they're cursing each other out or challenging one another as a man. This is what happens in sports, man. That's why when I play against my kids at anything, I talk trash to them all the time. I'm like, you're garbage, son.
Wow.
You're garbage. Because they're going to get it worse on the field. If you can't handle it at home, you ain't going to be able to handle it on the field execute. So I like both sides. I like the manager talking that talk. I like Cal talking that talk. But let's be 100. Cal owns real estate in Toronto. All right. He owns it.
Can I, in the last minute, veer away from the Mariners to give you an update on the Ipe Mizuhara / Shohei Ohtani case that's being investigated right now by federal agents? Alden Gonzalez of ESPN gave an update on some of the details to come out from federal authorities in an LA court this morning. You know how one of the initial reports was that two wires of $500,000 with Shohei Ohtani's name on them were sent to that LA bookie. Well, this is from Gonzalez. Ipe has been charged with bank fraud after it was discovered he transferred more than $16 million
Goodness gracious. Ohtani's
account to an alleged illegal sports book, federal authorities announced.
How do you live like that? How do you live knowing that at any moment it could go down and I'm stealing from one of my best...
$16 million!
He considered him a best friend, too. One of his best friends you're stealing from him. Man, garbage, man. Thieves and liars, man, the worst ones.
This says, according to U.S. Attorney Martin Estrada, the bets do not appear to have been made on baseball. They were placed between 2021 and 2024. Ipe set up the account for Shohei and didn't have access to Ohtani's reps or financial advisors. Interesting. So, once again, it looks like Ipe is just basically gambling with Ohtani's money. Dude, you had it made.
He was only getting paid like $90,000, you know.
You have a multi-millionaire that's your best friend. He'll get you whatever you want.
Just ask.
You did not secure. You did the opposite of securing the bag.
I bet you if he was like, hey.
You untied the bag and threw it overboard.
Put $50,000 on his phone, man.
He would do it. All right. We heard from some Seahawks stars yesterday at voluntary offseason workouts. We'll tell you what you need to know next.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stream every Seattle sports show with the Seattle Sports app. Brought to you by Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center. Get new videos, podcasts, and articles on the Seahawks and Mariners from your favorite Seattle sports personalities daily. Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
We heard from some Seahawks stars at voluntary workouts. Reporters got their first chance at the offseason program to be able to ask some questions to these guys. So let's start with Tyler Lockett, who ended his press conference with what I thought was his most interesting quote.
All right. Thank appreciate you. Y'all. Please don't put no more trade requests out there for me, because I see y'all's articles about me getting traded. Like, no.
I love Tyler.
He said, like, no.
Like, no.
It ain't going down.
Please cease and desist.
And good for Tyler. I mean, he's being lighthearted about this whole thing. Serious at the same time. But you have, I mean, it's the writer's jobs to explore scenarios that could go down. And in football terms, Tyler's been around for a long time. But no, I appreciate that they restructured that thing, because I think it's vital that Lockett is around.
I agree. Let's find out Tyler's reaction to finding out Pete wouldn't be returning again. Our first time hearing from some of these guys since Pete was let go.
I mean, I was shocked. I mean, I think everybody was shocked. I mean, sometimes if you're here long enough, you see it coming. You know, like, I've seen so many tweets and stuff about people saying it was time for me to go. And, you know, I think Sherm has said it a long time ago, like, the longer you stay, the longer you become a villain. But, you know, it's like when you're here so early, you're so loved and everybody wants to see more of you, all that different type of stuff. And so I think, you know, when Pete was let go, I mean, you know, it was real shocking, because when I looked out through the course of my life, like, I've literally almost had the same coaches my whole life. You go to college, I had Bill Snyder my whole career. You come here, fell, I was with Pete for 9 straight years.
Shocked was Tyler Lockett. And I know that when that news initially broke, Bump, you and I were both really surprised, because both you and I expected it to be a coordinator. And we also expected Pete to be here for at least one more season. And then you had lots of fans going, I'm not shocked. But I think it's different to be on the outside and hear a lot of the criticism, and then versus being on the inside feeling differently.
Yeah, because Tyler Lockett has a relationship with him. 9 years he's been his coach, and he was shocked because he still believed in Pete Carroll and the way that he was doing things. When you are in the trenches with somebody, you're in battle, you're going to the film room, you're game planning, you're taking these flights, it's just different. You hear the outside noise, but it don't hit the same way. When you're on the outside looking in and you're really breaking down, here, I don't know this for sure, right? But I would assume that Tyler Lockett does not look at the year-by-year stats and break down the things the way that we do, right? Because we got to come up here, articulate some thoughts and why we believe this is that. I doubt Tyler Lockett looks at the decline in some areas and where they failed in some areas and says, oh yeah, Pete has to go. Nah, he looks at it like a true teammate and soldier should. Like, look, hey, this is my dude. We'll fix that. We're going to get going. I'm not surprised that Tyler was shocked, because he felt like they could still win with Pete Carroll. But, you know, us looking at the situation, we're shocked, but also understood that change can be good. Right. And we're anxious to see if it is.
All right, let's get to, I got one more about Tyler. I might even have another segment later in the show where we get to some more of this. This is Tyler talking about what you need to do as a leader, and we can obviously naturally transition this conversation to what Mike McDonald's task ahead is.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, like, the biggest thing that I have to do is just continue to meet people where they're at, especially with this new transition, understanding that not every transition is the same and not every transition is always normal. You know, I've been here for 9 years, and so it's weird in a sense being here for 9 years, but there's a lot of stuff that's different about being in the same place. You got to be able to help people along when it comes to different type of coaching, the different styles of coaching, the different ways that coaches may talk to players, the different ways that they might teach the game, the different names that they call the routes. Like, a lot of things change, and so sometimes you got to be able to carry players with you. Sometimes you need players to carry you. And so it's kind of like whatever it is that they need me to do, you know, you try to find ways to do it to where you don't lose yourself, but you're still yourself while you're helping each and every person.
You don't lose yourself, but you still have to be yourself when you're helping each and every person, I think, is something that we can transition to anyone's role within this organization, including Mike McDonald. But another reason that it's great that Tyler's there, in addition to his performance on the field, Mike McDonald is going to need some help. He's going to need some veterans there, Bump, that can tell other guys and kind of be like that bridge guy for other players.
Yeah, I'm pretty much ruining one of my downs right now, but be it. Players are extension of coaches. Players, yeah. Veteran players at least. There's some guys that will be on the team this year that won't be there next year. But guys like Tyler Lockett who are here for a while, DK Metcalf, Geno, the guys who have been around the block a couple of times are the guys that you rely on. Those are the guys that you tap on the shoulder after practice and be like, hey, meet me in my office. I want to talk to you about some things. There's so many moving parts on a football team. Everyone's not going to hold the same value, or everyone's voice isn't going to hold the same weight. Mm-hmm. A guy like Tyler Lockett, who has proven that he's a baller in this league and that he is trustworthy on and off the field, you want to listen to him or you want to use him. He is a resource. So, yeah, Tyler Lockett is just approaching this thing the way that you should. You go through your emotion of shock and disappointment. Pete Carroll ain't here. The offensive coaches are different. But then you go through this, all right, this is still my job. I still know what my role is on this team, and how can I help this coach be successful? Because if the coach is successful, the team is successful, there's less stress, and he don't have to hear about them trade talks that mm-hmm. he was talking about.
All right, let's go to a defensive player. Julian Love, presumably your starting safety this upcoming season, talked about the defensive coaches laying down the groundwork for what the defense is going to look like.
These are different people. You know, it's different people. We're trying to get our foundation, kind of philosophy of our team. And I think it's really, we're just starting as a blank slate. I think it's kind of the main message. We're going to develop kind of the schemes and our pillars of what we want to go off of as a unit, I think, with player input, which is pretty cool. And so, yeah, that's kind of been the talk past few days.
So saying we started to get to know the coaches, lots of new faces. They've started to lay down the groundwork for our defense the past few days. We are just getting started early on in this process.
Yeah, this is the beginning. This is having your guys understand the why. I think that's important too. In most any type of coaching, in any level, any sport, the why. And old school coaching says, just do it because I told you to. I think those days are over. I think some coaches still might operate that way. But in my experiences, if you can relay the why and have your player see the bigger picture and where he or she fits in that puzzle or in that picture, then guys are playing more freely. And you're allowed to take a few more risks here or there because you understand what the next guy to you is doing. This is the fun part. It's fun when you have a unit like the Legion of Boom who already knows what to do. You ain't got to coach up much. That's fun too. But it's also fun for coaches to start from the bottom, to get a whole bunch of new faces and see what you can get out of them. I mean, that's why Pete Carroll isn't here, because they probably felt he couldn't get the most out of them anymore. So, this is the fun part. It's where you lay the foundation, and you need guys like Julian, who've been in the league for a while, to understand the why and relay that message when he's on the field.
We didn't get to the latest from Uchenna Nwosu nor with Geno, so we'll get to that coming up a bit later in the show at 11:45. Coming up next, we got to get back to baseball with Ryan Roland Smith. What worked so well for the Mariners when the bats finally got hot? Don't go anywhere.